Welcome to another Out There. I'm TJ Ryan. My guest this week, Keith Boshaw. Keith is from Tucson, Arizona. And I got to know Keith because he would come in and we'd do commercials at the radio station. He moved to Upper Michigan maybe a couple of years ago, something like that, Keith?
2013.
And so he wanted to advertise his business. And you know, people come in and we start talking. I would do that with everybody because I'm always curious. And I always want to learn more if I can. So Keith has a couple of strange things to share as far as, like, well, some really strange incidents that happened to him and seeing some strange things in the desert. But also what I thought was an eye-opener was his way of life. Those of us that live in the Midwestern states or certain parts of the country, maybe we don't realize some things that are going on. So thanks for coming in,
Keith. Hey, thanks for having me, DJ.
Tell me a little bit about growing up in Tucson. What was that like?
Well, aside from not knowing what rain is or any of the typical weather, it was an interesting experience. Maybe some people would call a rough life, perhaps. I seen it as a bit of a eye-opening learning experience.
What were some of the things that happened to you?
Well, aside from like constant bullying in school because I may look Hispanic, but I don't speak Spanish, therefore Mexican kids would bully me because I wasn't one of them. I wouldn't, you know, I refused to join gangs and stuff like that. So I was a big target.
Mm. So you grew up with a lot of Hispanic kids in the school you went to.
Yeah.
Correct. And they were somewhat of a problem towards you.
Yeah. I mean, I'd seem to be a quiet kid, mind my own, just do my schoolwork and whatnot. And they'd just come up and just start fights with me. Either in the locker room or lunchtime bus stop, it really didn't stop them. It didn't matter. It seems like, and even when you fight back, it made it worse.
Yeah, I would think so. They always tell you, well, fight back.
Yeah, no, that's when you get jumped. And I had my collarbone broke my freshman year in high school. The four dudes held me down and stomped me pretty good. So
you're gonna say something else. So you feel, and we're not here to pick on anybody in particular. I never do a show like that, but in a way, when I started talking to Keith, my eyes opened up a bit because you hear things about how bad it is, maybe in some areas, and you know there's gangs everywhere, and it's not just a specific race. There's all different races, but there seems to be almost like an agenda to promote. The Mexican cartel is what you were telling me about. And you feel that some of these gangs, or maybe all of them, are in a way connected and they're growing. Is that what you feel, Keith?
Yeah, absolutely. It's growing at a scary number, an alarming rate. Most people are completely unaware of it. And the people that are living there still, my friends and family back in Arizona and Texas along the border, they're aware of it, but they're almost in denial about it. The crime is just beyond outrageous. And if you talk about it here to people, they might not really understand what you're talking about because they haven't lived it or experienced. I'm talking, if you go to the store, there's a chance that you might get shot at just because you're in the wrong area at the wrong time. Mm-hmm. So it kind of makes you a little uneasy just going to get gas or the grocery store or something.
So what made you move out of Tucson and come up here?
I have two beautiful little girls, and I honestly didn't want them going to school there because they would be probably one of the only white kids there that didn't speak Spanish, and that would not. I didn't want them to experience what I did. I mean, no one should have to go through that type of stuff.
Was your life ever threatened, you felt?
Numerous times. I've being in the wrong neighborhood, I've been shot at several times.
Have you ever been shot?
I've been grazed by a bullet, my wrist. Unfortunately, my good buddy Kyle took the bullet right in the chest. It went through my wrist, and we were both sleeping on a couch, two couches that makes an L shape, right? My head was at one corner, his was at the other corner, pretty close. So the guy tried to get a double headshot, and I woke up when I heard the click of the gun. And all I felt was the muzzle fire burning me. And then that's when I realized, well, I just got shot. I look over, my buddy's gasping for air. And the couch cushion is what stopped the bullet from hitting his heart, a half inch from his heart.
Wow. So you don't have any, you're not bitter against a certain group of people or any, would you
no,
say?
No, not whatsoever. I believe diversity is what created this great country in the first place.
And you have friends that are came from Mexico?
Absolutely, 100%. You know, they might be illegal, but they're good-hearted people. I guarantee it.
And so this is not an attack on anybody, because I think there are good people in every part of the world. But they're also, you know, if we let our guard down, there are those that want to, they're not going to be afraid to take whatever they can take.
No, you're right on that. there are definitely more good than bad, but people will take advantage of you.
There certainly are some organized groups out there that are very powerful. And if we sit there and turn a blind eye to it, it may be just a matter of time before they get... Do you think they have a strong foothold in this country?
Absolutely. I have no doubt in my mind that there is a massive network connection, a super highway, if you will, of distribution, whether it be drugs or the big thing is actually human trafficking that most people are not aware of.
You keep hearing about that more and more.
Yeah, it's disgusting, and that's one of the reasons I did move. There were so many kidnappings in my neighborhood. It was sick.
Really?
Miles from my house, man. Little girls are the biggest ticket, and I have two of them. I'm not going to let them get taken. They go for $25,000 a piece. They pay for people.
How do you know?
The people I have met that came here trying to escape it, it told me a lot and opened my mind.
You know, this connects to a story which happened to a person I work with, and I won't involve names, but I think I told you this before, Keith. You know, people go and they leave the country and they travel elsewhere and they think, oh, it's all wonderful, but you know it's not so wonderful in these other countries.
Right.
People are hungry and they're barely surviving, and crime is going to be more rampant where you have those kind of things. So they went down to Mexico and they stayed at this resort. And it was a group of resorts that had even had their own hospital.
Okay.
And it was all, there was under guard, mm-hmm. you know. And while they were there, they had another family with them. And so there's a group of maybe eight people, you know, the parents with their kids. And they're teenagers to very young kids that are in the family. And one of the girls went up to the bar to get a kitty cocktail. And she came back, drank a little bit out of it, came back to the table, started flipping out. And
wow.
They eventually got a doctor, and of course, her father was not too happy because he felt the bartender did something to it. And of course, the resort is saying, no, she must have did that herself.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to call the police, and the resort wouldn't call the police.
Interesting.
And so they sent her to this hospital where they said there were traces of marijuana and some kind of alcohol in her system, and she, you know, they said she must have did it on her own. And this family, if you know the family, they just don't do those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And granted, anybody could do anything,
yeah,
but the daughter's not going to do it while she's on vacation with mom and dad and flip out like that if she does were to do that at all. So they came to the conclusion that somebody was trying to kidnap her, and they were trying to drug her up first, and then she would have been, like you said, taken. Mm-hmm. And before they left, the families felt intimidated because the resort said to them, in order for you guys to leave, you need to sign a waiver and say we had no responsibility to what happened to your daughter. Did not cause any of this. And if you don't, we're going to have to call the police down here, and it could take a while for an investigation. And why didn't they call him before?
Interesting, yeah.
And so these families were a little bit frightened, and they said, okay, they signed him, they kept their low profile, and they got the heck out of there. And they were very paranoid. And so this kind of, what you said, this supports what I think they experienced. And other people have talked about things.
Was she by chance a blonde? That is their biggest target.
I don't know offhand.
Okay.
I've met her before, but it's been a while, so I couldn't tell you. But I would say she was a teenager, like a tween, 14, somewhere in that range.
I went to Mexico once when I was 14, family field trip, our family and another family. Aside from seeing all the garbage and all that, the first few seconds of stepping out of our vehicle, getting into a hotel, I look across the street and I witness a carjacking. Really? First thing I seen, there's this nice red vehicle across the street, American vehicle. And then all of a sudden, this shady guy pops up on the other side, looks around, busts the window, and hops in.
Hmm.
I mean, welcome to Mexico.
And we don't want to give the wrong impression of, you know, I'm sure there's issues everywhere, and we have them in our cities here.
For sure.
You know, and you see it more in the bigger cities. So not to paint a picture, because I never want to do that. We're more alike than we are different as beings, and we need to, I definitely believe that we need to love and accept everybody, but we also need to be smart. You know,
right.
We need to
right.
realize that not everybody is coming here for kumbaya. Right. You know, some people, there's an agenda, and it's a very organized agenda. So that's why when you told me about this, I thought it was good to at least mention
right.
in some way, to let people know that if you go outside the country, or even if you go to the southern parts, be careful, right?
Absolutely.
And unless you're from there. Now, there are some, there had to be some areas in Tucson that you felt safer. You said you switched to another school and you didn't have any problems.
Yeah, when I was, yeah, I went through a few different high schools. Finally, when I switched to this one, wasn't really a private school. It was just a smaller charter school, I guess. Maybe that was the difference. Just instead of 1,000 kids or whatever, there's only a few hundred. That definitely made a difference. The teacher is more one-on-one. But yeah, it was a different side of town. That too, though. Because it's weird to say, but there is a good and a bad side of town. And
you everyone, hear about that.
Yeah. Everyone knows about it that lives there. You park your vehicle, or if it's not locked, it's probably going to get broken into. That's a fact. You come out, the vehicle might be on blocks. They stole your tires.
Right.
These things happen.
Oh, yeah. I think people know that in any city, really. Anybody lives in any city, you know,
yeah.
You know, any city of size. And it seems like even smaller and smaller ones are having more and more issues. And even living up here, we're seeing more and more, not violent crime, but crimes for people to maybe support a drug habit or drugs involved in things. So, you know, these things are infiltrating more and more.
Absolutely.
There was a time living up here, it was pretty safe. And it still is. But you don't lock your doors, do you? I shouldn't probably bring this up in the interview, should I?
But you did. My address is, and no, I don't.
But you told me before, and see, that's one thing I still do. I'm always, when I moved into this area, I moved them. Maybe when I was a kid, we didn't lock our doors much, living out in the country, but I think there's more and more people that are seeking something. And why give them an open invite, you know? So,
yeah.
But good for you if you feel you can trust.
I feel you have to give people a chance to, you know, you have to give people a chance.
Oh, I agree. But again, we're talking about using a little caution too, right?
Exactly. You got to use a little common sense when trusting. it's okay to be, you know, helpful, but to give someone your house key that you don't know is probably not a good idea.
So you also told me, and moving on from this, and I don't, we didn't do this to offend anybody because no. People are so easily offended now. It just was a way of, you showed me something that I'm curious about everything, so I'm always asking. You gave me a vivid impression of a different type of life than I ever knew. You know, I grew up in a pretty simplistic, you know, we didn't have those kind of things happening in this area. And it really is an amazing area to live and maybe raise a family still, I think.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
There's a lot of good places like that. But I've never been crazy about inner cities for that reason, too, because there just seems like there's, I can just sense the dark energy.
Right.
I can feel it. I'm sensitive to those things. And when we go traveling somewhere, which is not too often, I can go to a city and I can kind of pick out the areas that I think, even before we get there, what I think an area is where there's just a lot of negative energy. I sense more of the energy than anything else. And people can live in poverty and be wonderful people
right.
and loving. So it's not a blemish on that. It's just more of an energy that you feel. There's a story about the Dalai Lama, and he went to stay in Cleveland. And this is not a knock on Cleveland. If you're listening from Cleveland, by the way, I've never been there. But the Dalai Lama was spending a night at a hotel in Cleveland, and he couldn't get to sleep. He had to leave. He called somebody to take him somewhere else outside of Cleveland because of all the energy that he could feel.
Wow.
In the city.
I get that feeling from my hometown of Tucson. I mean, even just thinking about it.
And you get the fear. You can feel the fear that lives. And, you know, people maybe don't live with that fear all the time. Did you, were you always, you were just cautious, very, very cautious probably, right?
I got to the point where it got, I would say, paranoid because of just neighbors trying to break into my house every day. Mm. I mean, how can anyone live comfortably like that? Yeah. I wasn't sleeping for weeks.
So it's just a different way of life. And, you know, you and I have talked about this, but we really think the world is changing for the better.
Right.
So, and we're both maybe on a mission to make that happen. But at the same time, let people know that it's not all Pollyanna, you know,
right.
Not yet. And I would never do a show like this to turn anybody against anyone else, but just to bring a little more awareness. I think we have to look at every issue. And you also say it in a positive way. You're not attacking, you're not angry, which a lot of people could be for what happened to you. You've seemed to make peace with it.
Yeah, it helped me grow. It molded my character, I would say. I learned a lot from my whole experience. And growing up in such a hostile and negative environment, you know, here I am, uplifting, positive, you know, person, you know, who's taking care of his two little girls, you know. So, I mean,
his own business he started, and he's trying to make the most of it up here. So good for you.
Thank you.
So tell me about some of the weird things that happened to you, including you had some UFO or some kind of strange things. What is the earliest memory of something weird that happened to you?
The earliest memory would be almost not a memory, if that makes sense. My mom had told me there was a UFO outside. That's straight up. It was a shiny disc with red and green flashing lights around. It was there for several minutes. It was there so long she ran inside and got my sister, but she couldn't find me anywhere. But she told me that 3 days after I had been having these dreams of waking up in the middle of the night, and it was almost like a lightning storm. There's so much bright light. I'm like, what's going on? I walk outside, and then I wake up in my room with wet socks. I mean, I walked outside, but I mean, it was so bizarre. And this is like a reoccurring dream now, frequently.
You still have it?
Oh, yeah. All my life. And what's odd or interesting is I keep having other dreams that kind of slowly piece together a big picture. And every day I write stuff down, more and more of the story that's happening. There's like images of like living under an underpass, but like not like as a homeless person or something. There's like an apartment under a huge overpass, like a huge futuristic city. It's really interesting, flying cars and everything. And part of that dream continued later on where there was like an earthquake going on and I had to find my family and I was searching and their house was pretty much crumbled down and looking for bodies. And then I teleport to other places. But one of the other dreams I have is where I'm on top of this huge building and it's almost like my office. It's like a rooftop building. I'm looking over the city and I got a nice suit on and looking out into the sunset on a cell phone. I don't know.
So what you're describing to me is like you're visiting other dimensions. And I really believe there are many versions of us that are living out right now. Is that something you see?
I would have no doubt. I mean, it's so vivid. It's so realistic, detailed.
There's a man who's no longer alive, but his name was Robert Monroe. And he would have these out-of-body experiences, and he could induce them at will. But he talked about traveling to, in one of his books that I read, because I had these out-of-body experiences when I was 4 years old, and I didn't know what they were. And by reading his book, somebody gave it to me and heard, you know, I told him when I was older, and they let me look at it, and I thought, that makes sense now. But he talked about there are other realms that you can go to when you leave your body. And some of them are realms where there are beings that are kind of lost and they're waiting for somebody to pass through. And when you do, they kind of glom onto you. And I experienced that. I experienced one of them pinching me in the butt so hard that my butt hurt when I returned to my body.
Wow.
And so I really believe I was in that realm that he talked about. And I didn't know. I was 8 years old at the time. It took me years later to find out that I had traveled in an out-of-body experience to a location where there's just a lot of stuck beings. And it's not a bad place, and they're not bad beings. They're just stuck, I really believe. And then another, he talked about, and this is what I think maybe pertains to you. Mm-hmm. He said he would go to this place, and it was very similar to here. He said the cars were wider, and the technology was a little different than ours. And he would have a wife there, and everybody knew him. And he would, like, get on with his life. And he would go back and forth between there and here.
Right.
And he said that there are other dimensional places where we can travel and we can see another part of us that's existing in those places.
I've always thought, and I don't think I've ever told anybody this, but perhaps the reality we are in right now is the actual dream reality, and the real reality is when we are sleeping here and dreaming, that it's so powerful we can't really tap into it.
You sound like you're talking about the Matrix.
something along that aspects. I mean,
you know, in a way, it's really, I agree with you too, because I think we, our true essence, in my frame of mind, is that we're just energy, beings of energy, and this really is kind of an illusion. It's held together by our thoughts, our collective thoughts, and God, if you want to say God, holds the kind of the formula, holds everything together. So we can experience what it's like to be in a physical body, but this is really not our true state. And this is kind of, we're kind of lost here when we come here. And there are many levels of experiencing this physical, like I say, multi-dimensions that could be playing out right now.
Right. I think I may have mentioned I had an out-of-body experience before where a voice, same voice as mine, but it told me that you're living in a shell. It is just a vessel for this world.
Hmm.
I was staring at the ground, looking at my shadow at the time, just thinking, and that's when it happened. And I could see myself from the third person as if someone was holding a camera behind. It just kind of like freaked me out for a minute. I'm like, what is going
on?
Looking
down at your body, right?
And I'm like, this isn't real. So I moved my right arm and I could see it move. I'm like, oh, this is weird. Am I a puppet? It was bizarre.
I kind of had something similar to like that as well. And I was laying above my body and I looked down and I saw this body beneath it. And I thought, what the heck? And I thought, am I dreaming? And I said, wow, this is weird. And the voice came from the body that was laying down below me. So I was floating above it. And I got to, I mean, that was one of different ones that I had. So what do you make of all that?
That there is a lot more to reality and space and things like that we might not understand.
Not completely. But I mean, do you think that we can leave our bodies at night or different times that we leave our bodies?
I feel yes. I mean, I feel every time I fall asleep that I go somewhere else. Like I said, I have very realistic dreams, and it's just, you know, bizarre.
And even though you experience what some people would say darkness, you still feel that there's a lot of light.
Absolutely.
And do you feel like we're moving towards a time of light?
Absolutely.
That we are.
I think our consciousness is finally evolving and shifting in the right direction. A lot of people are starting to go green and recycle and start caring about the planet more. And aside from all the crime that I have experienced in my past, there's a lot of good people everywhere.
Absolutely.
And it is definitely changing into the right direction finally.
Yeah, I think it's been part of a shift that, you know, if you listen to my show, I always talk about that we've come into this time of great change, and it's been really foretold by the ancients that this would come forward. We've been a warlike beings for thousands of years, and now we are moving towards what I think will be a more loving and accepting group. And you know, it's not going to happen maybe overnight, and it might take a while. We have some growing pains, and there's going to be some still some big bumps in the road that we might have to face. But I really see that the light is going to win, and it's not even going to be a battle, because you flip on a light switch, where does the darkness go? It's not going to stay around. So when the light shows up, the darkness leaves, and that's what I think is happening. But they're kicking and screaming every step of the way. And it's like, okay. But it's just a matter of time. And the light is always going to be gentle. The light doesn't force its way in. The light right. will... When I think about angels and other beings that are helping us, they don't force themselves on to you and say, oh, I'm going to help you for your own goodness, your own sake. It's like they will help when they ask, but it's always going to be a gentle nudge and push us. And even our higher self, which is maybe something you experienced a little bit, right?
Yeah.
In that conversation.
Yeah.
Was it a gentle nudge? It wasn't somebody stomping you going, hey, this is your outer shell.
No, it was just almost like a wake-up call, like a, hey, listen, take care of this body. Treat it right, you know.
It's giving you a warning a little yeah. bit. But not in a bad way.
Right.
Nothing that scared you.
No. It's very eye-opening, I would say.
Now, when you lived down in Arizona, did you... You never really saw UFOs too much? Your mom, you said your mom saw them?
Well, I actually, later, when I grew up, I seen quite a few things myself. Anomalies, or whatever you want to call it. One instance, I was walking from my cousin's house to his guest house, maybe like 45, 50 feet. It was pitch black. I couldn't see nothing before cell phones had flashlights on it. Just had my normal phone out for a light so I could watch my step. All of a sudden, the whole ground and area around me lit up like a bluish spotlight or a flare. So I look up to see if it was a flare or a helicopter spotlight or something. And there it was, just this bright, fluorescent, bluish light. And then all of a sudden, it just shoots across the sky and takes off.
Wow.
That was, I mean, prior to that, though, I failed to mention, it was walking in the darkness. My skin got warm and tingly right before it got bright. Hmm. I don't know if that has anything, if anyone else experienced that, but another time, I was out on the porch just enjoying the good night. It was pitch black out.
Was this right in the city or out in the country?
Yeah, country, middle of nowhere, Arizona.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, I just look up in the sky and I see this thing, just like a bright light shooting across. And then you can see an explosion up in the sky of this bright magenta and bright neon blue lights, like spiraling, like as if a ship had separated and from different pods. So you can see these three spirals just coming from the main capsule, and then the main capsule kind of makes a very fast curve. Nothing military or anything I've ever, you know, out of this world.
What do you think we're being visited?
I think we have been ever since we've been here. I think we were placed here and we're kind of being guided.
So you think that they placed us here?
Yeah.
Like ancient aliens says?
I think so. It makes sense to me in the fact that we're almost in a science experiment, I think. And they're kind of just keeping an eye on it, watching it, making sure we don't self-destruct or anything like that. Mm. Whether it's true or not, it's all speculation and theory, I guess.
Well, I think there certainly is some evidence if you talk to the different people, and I've talked to a lot of different people. I definitely agree that we've been visited in the past. There's so much evidence to look at there. But also, I look at people that have been taken and abducted. You know, there's a reason behind it. Actually, I have a guest coming in maybe next week or so that has a lot of strange experiences about being taken. Hmm. And he feels a connection to these beings, just like other people I know that have been taken. So did they create us? I don't know about that. But they certainly seem to be interested in our how we're moving forward. Some of them are. And I think there were those here at one time that weren't so friendly towards us. And then maybe they kind of enslaved us.
I've thought about this for years and years. I thought one scenario would be, like, for example, we had a race to the moon, right? Different nations.
Right.
And who got there first was based on technology, right? So you imagine throughout the cosmos, there's all these different races of aliens. They have finally get this technology where they can go to different planets. So now you have a bunch of different races trying to get to all these different planets looking for certain minerals, perhaps. So now you got several different races. Oh, hey, look, here's a blue planet. They find Earth. Now there's a bunch of different races teaching us how to build and culture and stuff like that. And then, well, they don't like each other too much. And they have different, and they get into battles. And there's all this evidence of different aliens having battles and stuff.
Especially if you look at the Hindu teaching.
Absolutely.
You could see that there were battles, you know, and people will say, well, those are just ancient legends. I don't think so.
No, I think those people documented what they saw. I think they were telling the truth
on what they saw. And I also believe that in the Old Testament, some of those battles are listed.
Absolutely.
That took place. So
it's all about your perception and how you read it and perceive it. Well, based on how it seems to be. I mean, if your thought about the Bible is God is a certain being or whatever, or if you think that maybe he was an alien that created us based on his image, as it says.
That's a possibility.
That's my thought.
See, I'm more of the, I think we are extensions of the Creator, and we are the ones that created a lot of this. So I go down the road, I guess, what metaphysical people kind of look at and say, in the beginning, we were the ones, with the help of the one that created us, that gave us all the abilities that we had to create the worlds we live in and the beings that live on there, so we could occupy these bodies, so we could experience the grand experience of what it's like to be physical, because we're not physical. That was the whole purpose. I wonder what it's like to be physical. Then we go, I wonder what it's like to forget what it's like to be connected to the source. Yeah, let's set up a world where there's duality. So there's good and bad, dark and light, instead of just oneness. You know, and the people that have been taken by beings, they all pretty much say that they don't have that belief, that they know there's just oneness. They don't have duality like we do. So we chose this experiment, I believe, and because we chose that, we allowed other beings to come here and do whatever they wanted to set up both sides of the equation.
Gotcha.
And so the fallen angels, to me, could be, like you say, beings of light that chose, maybe some of them came in ships, but I think it's more of energy beings that came. And they've been kind of the ones running the show here for a long time, but that's changing. You know, you and I both believe that.
Yep.
And maybe you and I are part of that change, too, in some way, right?
Well, I think there's a reason for everything. And, I mean, moving 2,000 miles and meeting someone like you who has the same, you know, thought pattern on that is just, it's not a coincidence. I mean, we're here to make change. We're going to make it happen.
And that's why I wanted you to come in, and I thank you so much. I know you got to run, but I appreciate you. We can talk more sometime about this. I find it... Everybody, you know what? I love to talk to everybody. It's not like, you know, everybody that comes in, I love to hear what they have to say. And you have a lot. So thank you so much.
Well, thanks for your time. It's always a pleasure.